All right, this is Chairman Nathan Wakefield calling the meeting to order at 7:35 p.m. Eastern Time. Moving to a roll call, Nathan Wakefield is present. Louis Saradek, currently absent. Bob Newman?
Present.
Thank you, Bob. Noel Yee?
Present.
Thank you, Noel. Marvin Ong?
Present.
Shavela Schwab?
Here.
Thank you. Mike Sullivan? Mike is not here. He messaged me, or Marilyn said he would not be joining us. Then Afton Benson?
Here.
Thank you, Afton. Aaron Stevens?
Here.
Okay. Martin Frost? Martin is not here. Jim Maxwell?
Present.
Thank you, Jim. And did I miss anybody's name? Whoa! Hey, good timing, Louie.
Hello, guys. Sorry I'm a little late.
All good, all good. All right, so Louie, you are here, correct?
Yes, present.
All right, yes, present. That's what I like to hear. Great. Thank you much.
Oh, great.
All right, we'll give you just a second to catch up, Shavela. So it looks like the only people absent are Mike and Martin.
Somehow I deleted them.
Yeah. Alrighty. Moving forward to approval of the agenda, would someone like to make a motion to approve tonight's agenda?
Bob Louie.
I think Bob edged that one. But we have an opportunity.
Louie will second.
Oh my goodness, such enthusiasm. Okay, motion is made by Bob and seconded by Louie. Thank you very much. Any discussion? Okay, moving to a vote. Does anybody oppose the approval of tonight's agenda? Would anyone like to abstain? Agenda is approved. Moving forward with approval of minutes for last month's board meeting, December 21st, 2015. Would someone like to make this motion?
Louis, I will.
Thank you, Louis. Do we have a second?
Bob will.
Thank you, Bob. Any discussion? Moving to a vote, does anybody oppose the approval of last board meeting's minutes? Any abstentions? Minutes are approved. Okay, moving on to reports. We're going to start with the financial report with Afton Benson. As you'll notice, the 2015 P&L statement there is attached, as well as Afton's treasury report.
So, anyway, Dennis is currently working super hard to get the rest, like the P&L and everything in the balance, all finalized for 2015. I uploaded the 2015 P&L for the Festival for Quebec, and I kind of need the board's guidance on something. I know in my report I kind of wrote it up. I know how I would handle it. We have been trying time and again to, we verified with Turbo, I think myself three different times, that they have sent us everything and that they have been paid for everything they paid for. Dennis, however, has around $4,260 that he has set aside, basically, because he thought it was going to come across on some, like, report or statement from Turbo, because either Veronique mentioned it in an email or it was mentioned to him, you know, like, from a board meeting or something. And he tried to contact Veronique, but she isn't replying to him. And when he contacted Christiane, she said to contact Felix, and he has never emailed back either. So we have this $4,260 that currently is adding up to the loss of $19,901 for the 2015 festival. What I think we should do is we've done our due diligence to get this resolved with Turbo. Like, we need them to show that they actually paid these things and it wasn't just something being mentioned. They've sworn that everything's been turned in. I say that $4,260 is put towards the loss of 19 and making the total festival loss $15,641. But I need to know how the board wants to proceed with that.
This is Louie. If there's not somewhere else that goes to and they're not asking for it and it seems to just be hanging there, I think that's great to put it towards the loss. 19,000
okay.
is pretty heavy. 14, 15 is still pretty bad. But anything
yeah.
to take that down, if they're not asking, if it was put aside and not used, I think it goes back.
Okay.
This
that's
is
just
Bob,
one opinion. And again, that's, you know the accounting. If that seems right, that seems fine. Go ahead, Bob. Sorry.
No, I just said I agree. Add it on. You know, so that the loss is decreased.
Okay.
This is Noel. Sarah had presented where she was at, and if there's not a lot of asking about it, I mean, might as well just close the book on it instead of waiting for somebody to decide that they need it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. So I will email Dennis and let him know that he should adjust that accordingly like he had mentioned to me. So the total festival loss will be, give or take, like $2, $15,641 for 2015. So that was a downer. I'm sorry. I got the balance in the P&L report like 2 hours before I left work today. So right now, we're slated at a loss for the year of $7,903.66. It sounded like Dennis had to make some adjustments where there were some EWE and or UNIMED donations, and that adjusted it from a potential loss of like 5 to 7. But that could also change a little bit with the festival.
Okay.
Yeah, so with the P&L, I'm guessing most of it is from the festival is why it's such a loss.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes total sense.
14,000 some loss, made up 7,000 somewhere.
I missed that, I'm sorry.
Can you repeat that, Louie?
We lost 14,000 with the festival, so we made up 7,000 somewhere.
Right. And yeah, and that's what I'm seeing. I didn't see anything that looked like outrageously ridiculous on it, so.
Yeah.
But right at this moment, I would suggest for year end and finalizing that, give Dennis like another week once I tell him like, yeah, go ahead and adjust the festival P&L. And then I would say next meeting we could vote on the year end P&L. But the festival is, I'm fine signing off on that at the 15th.
Okay. One thing I will mention, under the motion section, we do have the motion to accept the P&L statement for the festival. But in light of this adjustment, it sounds like we're unanimous in that we do want this adjustment. So when we get to that motion, we can either just vote to table it or just simply not make the motion, and then we'll vote on it after it's been adjusted at the next board meeting.
Awesome. That's what I've got for right now, guys. I'm sorry I just got it today. But, yeah, Dennis has been trying to comb through the kind of all the festival stuff and get that all assigned in the right categories and all that jazz, so.
Well, thank you very
thank
much.
You. Great work, Afton.
Thank
Any more discussion on the treasury side of things, guys?
I just have a quick question. Maybe Jim already has a plan, but it might be good for the current festival team to have a chat with Dennis about what the process is for bookkeeping, so it's not such a...
I'm hearing some background. Is it somebody speaking or...
Yeah, we can't hear you, Aaron.
That sucks. Hello? Is that working good?
Yes. Much better.
Oh, wow. Okay, it's my earphones. I just said that I was thinking it might be a good idea for the current festival team to meet with Dennis and just talk about procedures for bookkeeping for this coming festival so that it's not such a process for him next year and everything can be a bit more organized. If that
yeah, this is Jim. We've already had a discussion, or I've talked to Afton,
okay.
and we've already sort of had that discussion. I would welcome a discussion with Dennis if he has any thoughts about what we're currently doing or not doing. But of course, you know, we've barely even begun to garner any expenses. So
spending on marketing, so I'd love to just know what process I should take to make sure I'm documenting things most efficiently as possible.
Right.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
So far, the only thing I have requested reimbursement from are the stickers and the printing that we took to El Paso.
Mm-hmm.
And that was simply a matter of providing the receipts and they reimbursed it right away. So Aaron, if you're gathering expenses for the marketing side, then I think go ahead and send them to Afton and Dennis and copy me, and we'll take care of them.
Great.
That would be perfect.
What category it's going into and all that.
Yep. As long as you clarify when you send it, so you can just say Afton or Dennis, this is for marketing for 2016 festival.
Right.
And then you know, if it's supposed to be applied to a certain area, if you're like, oh, this is for a website blast or something like that, that would be really nice, too.
Okay.
It's just, with Turbo, what we got a lot of, Aaron, was just random receipts.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had to sit down with Vero for about 2 hours and write down, like, what she thought they were gonna go under. And she wasn't keeping track, which is why we had such a huge loss, is by the time she realized it was a problem, it was the week of the festival.
Yeah. Okay.
And Jim, you so far, Dennis said everything that you've sent him has been stellar, and your budget is laid out lovely. So.
Cool. And to sort of piggyback on that, I know that we're going to start buying flights pretty soon. And
yeah.
And Nathan, you were checking in on a debit card for us for that?
I submitted the application for the small business card about a week ago. If I don't hear anything in the next few days, I'll give them a call and check the status of that. But they should be mailing those to me any day now, unless something went wrong on their end. I don't know. I haven't heard anything.
Great.
Great. Yeah, and, you know, I know Aaron has a couple of receipts. And, you know, those are all fine. But I think for the big ticket items, we definitely want to try and do that without any of us being out of pocket.
Yeah.
For sure, then we can already know where they're going to and deduct it and all that jazz.
Exactly, exactly.
I'm all for that.
Sure.
Cool. Great. And Afton, I might write you too about another piece that I wrote to Dennis, but just about in regards to the PayPal account and how we could potentially use it for all our Facebook marketing directly, so I'm not paying out of pocket for all of that. It would be great.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
I'll write you about that.
We can get that squared away.
Cool.
Okay. Anything else with the financial side of things? All right. Moving along, I did add this item to the agenda, the final Quebec Festival report that Veronique submitted. She did email it out to the board, and we did meet with her at a vision planning meeting, but I wanted to make sure it got put on the official business agenda, especially since only a couple people made it to the vision planning meeting. So if there's any further discussion, we can put it out here at this meeting. So Yeah. Do you have any further discussion? Please proceed.
There is not much more for me, except that clearly I can concede, finally, that working with outside organizations in a foreign country is significantly more monitoring. Us working with somebody like Jim, who's been a part of our festival for years, and so I think that work with us to create a border.
You're getting some distortion there, Noel.
Okay. The long story of it is, we just need to be careful about outside. Better, everybody?
Yeah, you're better, Noel.
Okay. Well, I just want to say that when we go outside of the IJA network, I think that that makes things significantly. We need a closer eye in communication, and if that ever becomes a decision again, this festival and this report should be rebrought up.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. Definitely got to keep these things in mind so history does not repeat itself. Okay. Well, on a more upbeat note, moving right along to the 2016 IJA Festival Report. Looks like there's a lot of great things going on, a lot of good stuff. So, yeah, Jim, take it away.
Yeah, sure. My apologies for submitting it this at the final hour, but I did upload the this report that I'm giving you now. So if you have any questions on that, but I'll just briefly go through it and say that Aaron did a fantastic job of getting us launched today on social media.
Can I pull up for 1 second? My computer is frozen up. So sorry, it's Shabela. The computer's frozen. I'm trying to get it back up. So if someone could just take about 2 minutes so I can use it.
I can do that. I'm on it.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sure.
So we've launched social media, and I'm in the process of getting some more stickers printed so that we can send to the upcoming regional fests. The ones that are on my radar are Groundhog, Mondo, and, of course, Austin. If anybody else knows of other fests that are going on that I should be sending these to, please let me know. We have been in negotiation with a number of talented artists. You'll see from the list there, we've got a number of them confirmed, and we're still negotiating with a few others. I'll let you peruse that and come back with any questions. In addition to those, we're trying to keep a slot or two open that we might be able to fill last minute with some competitors who don't actually qualify for the stage competition because we're pretty sure that there will be some really good acts probably at the festival that are otherwise unutilized. On the website, Steve Wiswell, my partner here in Austin, has been busy getting our subpages under the festival menu. So far, he's got 5 subpages up there, and we're modifying and adding to those, as well as building out some others, you know, including one for special guests and another one for basically a general events page that lists all the events going on throughout the week. For the brunch, I am getting some quotes. I've gotten 2 so far from Camino Real, which is our main hotel, and those estimates vary from $18 to $30 per head. Now, obviously, I told her that $30 a head that we just weren't going to be able to do with our numbers, but really it comes down to exactly what our numbers are going to be. And obviously, we don't know exactly until we start getting some pre-registration. But I need to have a realistic idea of what we can expect. Now, I know Mike had originally said 300 on day one. I think that's way overestimated. I'd be interested in hearing some other feedback, particularly from you, Martin. How many you think that we will have? at the festival on Tuesday, and then, of course, each day after that. And also considering that some people, like the ones that are staying at Holiday Inn, they will have, they get breakfast included. Other people are just going to, you know, be more interested in going out rather than eating our brunch. But although I don't know, we've never done this before, so it's uncharted territory. But what are some realistic figures that you think we can expect for days 1 through 5?
I don't have my pass numbers in front of me. What was our pre-registration total last year?
Let's see.
Do you have it
one
in front of you?
Second here. Last year, pre-registration was 168.
168?
Uh-huh. And then 48 youth seniors. So that was 168 adult and 48 youth seniors. So total was about 216.
Okay. Plus some youth group members. So that's 216. I'm going to guess that it's going to be less, even though, you know, we're trying to get more people there with the big prize money and competition, championships competitors. But I'm going to have to say that we're probably not going to have 216 pre-reg. So
yeah.
I'm going to say 175, and it might be less.
Okay. And then
it's just a long drive to El Paso from anywhere.
I understand. And do you think it will go up incrementally each day, or do you think that we might stay at that number for the first couple of days and then go up later in the week?
Well, I think it will go up slowly, as it always does. This is open to anybody with a day pass, right? The brunch?
Right. At this point, my understanding is that that's what IWI's mandate was. To provide brunch for all the festival attendees.
Right.
I think if we were going to try and limit it to those with festival packages, then we need to clear that with IWI.
I think that'd be a bad idea
right.
if we tried to limit it to that.
I agree.
So, I have the per day registrations somewhere, but not in front of me. I don't know if you have those, but we get some each day. So, it will go up throughout the week, and I would hope. What was our total registration last year?
Well, what I've got is what I put in the budget, but that was pulled from a number of different sources. Which
I send you some numbers for last year? Maybe
I
not.
Got,
I don't know.
I got numbers from a couple of different sources, and it took quite a while to sort of even come up with estimates for this, which brings up another point that we need to have a standardized way of reporting these statistics from year to year. And Martin, if you've got a spreadsheet or something that you can send me that has multi-year data, then that would be great. But from what I could tell, we got different data sets each year, and they were formatted differently and organized differently, and it was pretty hard to sort of extrapolate a good estimate.
Okay, I'll send you whatever I can come up with. I have some numbers from most years. Some years I was not able to get the registration information. When it was going through the IGA website, it was very easy for me to collect it because I was running the website.
Sure.
And the years when it was registration was, for instance, in Minnesota, it was off-site. It was a different registration and some others.
Yeah.
I'll try to give you some numbers soon. Send me an email if you don't hear from me in a day or two.
Will do. All right. So that gives me an idea of what I'll go for, and I will try and get them down as low as possible so that we can get a decent brunch for everybody under $25,000. But of course, the challenge is that we're working with hotels and convention centers, and that's the other thing. I'm still waiting on a quote from the El Paso Convention Center. But notoriously, these institutions, that's where they make their profit, and they absolutely will nickel and dime us to death on food service. So, and I think we've learned that through other dealings with convention centers and hotels, but I understand this is donor money, so it's not coming straight out of the pocket of the IJA, but we want to be responsible with the donor money, and at the same time, we want, you know, the donor has given us this money to make sure that it's a benefit to our festival attendees. And if we end up having to do just granola bars and things like that, which themselves are going to be ridiculously expensive just because we're going through this hospitality industry. But yeah, I'd like to make it as attractive as possible to the festival participants, but at the same time not completely burn through our donor money and then have to supplement it even more with festival money. So that's the challenge there. If anybody has any ideas, I'm certainly open to suggestions, but I'll keep working on that. And then the next thing to talk about is registration. We're going to do our early registration the first 2 weeks of March, so March 1st through the 14th, and then March 15th. And am I correct that we take online registration through June 30th? Is that the case traditionally?
That's normal.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So we'll keep that as is. I've got the prices there for each category for you to look at, but it's also on the budget. Vendors, I need some information here. Is there an official IJA vendor policy, or is that done ad hoc by the festival creator or a festival director each year?
By policy, what do you mean? Pricing?
Yeah, what do we charge them? What exactly do we offer them in terms of the number of tables? And then say if they want extra tables, they have to pay X amount. How is this normally structured?
From my experience, it's been done by the director themselves each year, but based on the templates of what's happened the past years. So
yeah,
I can look for information for that from the 14th. I can look for information from 2014 and let you know that part.
Yeah. I just don't want to have to completely recreate the wheel. Also, I don't want to make an offer that our vendors say, well, this is totally out of line with what we normally get. So,
all right. And Mike also has lots of documents on that. He's been involved with kind of suggesting structures for that.
We certainly know what we charged them in the past, and it's very little bit. But basically, it's been something like $50. Well, actually, I think the last couple of years, maybe we've offered members of the vendor discount program free registration for their booth and their first table.
Right.
And then
that's the kind of granularity I'm trying to get to.
Yep.
Yeah. Because I knew we have the IJA vendor program, and so I wasn't sure how that interplays with it and exactly what the specifics are. So if anybody's got those, let me know. I'll also reach out to Mike and see what he's got. And then, Aaron, if you've got something, go ahead and send it along.
Yep.
Okay.
One of the things, just let me interrupt a moment here, Jim.
Sure.
One of the things that would help in this regard would be having this sort of information online in a permanent location. We used to have a wiki on the old website, and you know what we now have is Google Docs, which are totally unorganized as far as I know. But it'd be nice to have this sort of information filed very carefully each year whether it's a spreadsheet, Google Docs sort of thing or whatever, so that people could look at it from year to year. So I end up going back and finding the previous year's registration form somewhere because I keep a hold of them or they're online or something, and then, you know, compare from year to year.
I think
Mark,
Google Docs is a great place to do something like that, and that's what we've done with, like, the festival folders for each year is starting to be very helpful, like being able to be like, oh, here's the budget from 2014, Jim, because it's right here in our Google Docs folder. But that just, like, takes historical building. But I think, too, like, creating a spreadsheet of the annual attendees and stuff where each year we just add the next column and we say how many people attended, et cetera, would be really easy to do and easy to share with future directors and such through Google Docs. So just take somebody to get in there and organize it.
Hear. All right. Any Yeah, any other questions so far? I've only got a couple more items to go here. Inventory, I'm in the process of going through the crates that were shipped to me after Quebec. There's a lot of stuff in there that I have to wonder if it ever gets used, or are we just paying to ship this stuff around the country for nothing? I've listed a couple of things on there just come to mind so far, and I'm just now beginning to scratch the surface of this, but there are like 24 reversible jerseys. Are those used for joggling? Does anybody know?
What kind of jerseys?
They are just like they're reversible. They're blue on one side and yellow on the other, so you can turn them inside out for another, you know, if you need to delineate teams. But that's the only thing that I can think of. But otherwise, I have no idea what these things are for.
I think the volleyball game.
Okay.
Yeah, could they be volleyball?
Well, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, you know who's on, you know what side is what in that. It's like not like they're intermixed. Maybe combat or something? Team combat?
I have no idea. I've never seen these used at a festival. I've been coming to festivals since 1995, and I have never seen these used in a festival. But then again, I hardly ever go to joggling, so that was my only guess there. But regardless, it's just things like that. There are a lot of things in there, just a lot of effluvia that I don't think anybody really wants anymore. You know, if they were ever useful, they've outlived their usefulness. And so I would urge the board to sort of take a look at this. I'll try and come up with a comprehensive inventory list when I'm done. But, like, there's also a bunch of two-way radios and walkie-talkies with chargers that I'm not sure ever get used or for what.
The last couple of years for communication between everyone. That's been very helpful, actually.
Well, to that end, we've actually already rented some radio headsets for the organizers to use in El Paso, because we had no idea that this stuff existed. I will concede that Mike Thomas is the one that sold me on this. He said that we used them in Quebec, or we used something like it in Quebec, and it was a total game changer. Of course, Mike tends to say that about everything. So we've already, you know, entered into a contract to rent some really good, high-quality communication devices for us to use in El Paso. They're a lot better than walkie-talkies. I mean, they're full-on communication sets. I don't have the details in front of me, but I can certainly get that to you. But you know, they use cellular towers, and they're a lot more powerful, so that if somebody's over in the theater, or even if somebody's at joggling, you know, they will be able to contact instantly the team that's at the convention center. So,
These are temporary cell phones.
In effect, they are, yes, but they are used for events, you know, for so that you can get on a channel and stay with it. But it's definitely more than just a walkie-talkie. Whereas what's in this box are literally walkie-talkies, where I think, you know, you've got two people that can communicate to each other, but. I honestly don't know. I just saw them in the box, and I'm like, well, what are these? And, you know, if I had known they were there, then I might have thought twice about entering into this contract that Mike sold me into. But anyway, that's just me kvetching. I don't want to go on about that. But these are the types of things that I think the board needs to be active and understand what the IJA owns and be proactive about discarding things that we don't need, and rather than paying to have it shipped from festival to festival without any use. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Finish up. I'm sorry.
The last thing there are dozens of games that were shipped separately in a cardboard box from Quebec. And they are in various states of disarray and disrepair. And I think these were bought with EWE fund money about 3 years ago. And since then, it's really just been sort of, you know, pull them out at the fest. I have no idea if they get used or not, but then they get put back into a box and shipped to the next fest. So I'm actually going to get some volunteers here in Austin to help reassemble them and salvage them. But the manner in which they were shipped from Quebec was pretty incredible. And, of course, these boxes that the games come in are not all that durable either. And so they're starting to crumble and give way. And it's just a lot of stuff that that isn't really being kept properly. And to that end, I don't know what kind of use it gets. But we're going to try and make and salvage the games and have a game station at IJA for people that want to take a break from juggling, because I know there are a lot of jugglers who are also into board games and such.
This is Bob.
Uh-huh.
Let me interrupt you a minute, Jim. I think back to your original point of just get an inventory as much as you can, and I think we as the board should decide beforehand, or at the very least, you know, least at the festival, what to discard. Like those jerseys, that's ridiculous. Like, you know, and I've been going to these fests all the time, and I've never seen them worn. And I know they're not used for joggling. So, I mean,
Who
knows, somebody had an idea somewhere and threw them in there, you know, and then they, you know, may not have gotten ever used. But, I mean, yeah, we do need to quit shipping all this junk around. And as far as board games go, I know people like them. My personal opinion is they like them that much they can bring their own because they don't take care of other people's board games, of course, and it costs us money to ship them back and forth. And as you said, these aren't made to be shipped back and forth.
Right. And board games, by the way, if you don't know, board games are not cheap. So there was a considerable investment at some point by Iwi on these board games. So, you know, of course, it's Iwi's money. He can he or she can spend it as they wish. But then as stewards of that property, then I think the IJA needs to do a little better job on maintaining it. And my final note is in the report, and that is just to put you guys on notice that these crates will not come back to Austin after El Paso. So they'll need to go somewhere. I don't know if that's to Iowa or to somebody's storage, but they will not come back to Austin.
How much are we talking about?
We're talking about those two big black crates. Now the team's trophies are in there also, and so that, you know, you do need protection for that. They are packed pretty good in their own boxes, but you do definitely want those big solid crates, or something like it for shipping those. And they are not small crates. They're two large crates. And then, like I said, the games were shipped to me in a cardboard box. And it looked like at the very end of Quebec that they just basically threw everything into this box, put a shipping label on it, and it came with the other crates.
Well, I know, and also with the walkie-talkies, we have to talk to or get somebody who is knowledgeable about the state of the art of walkie-talkies, because if these are the same old ones, you know, they've been using since Ginny Rose was around, they're so outdated, I'm sure they're really not worth the money to ship. You know,
I don't think they're that old. I think we have bought them since then.
Yeah, they worked pretty well in 2014, from what I recall. All right, anything else?
Mm-hmm. All right, guys. This is Nathan. I've got a few quick questions, Jim.
Sure.
Actually, one comment first is, in addition to the two crates, I also have the Lucas Cup, which is in a fairly large hard case.
Right.
I'm working on getting that restored, so that will probably also be at the festival and will also need to be shipped. It's in its own separate container, so just so everyone is aware, that's something that we'll also need to work out the logistics for. And, a couple of quick questions. So when we open a registration in March, are you confident that every, chargeable aspect is going to be in place, including the special workshops? Do you know how many special workshops you're projected on having?
Right now, we're anticipating two. We have Emil Dahl confirmed as of today, I think, and he has offered a special workshop. We have some ideas for a second one, but we haven't yet confirmed that. But I don't, I'm not sure that we will have more than two.
Okay. All right, that's fine. I just wanted to make sure that was on track to be in place by March. And then are we ready to start announcing some of these special guests, or do you have a plan to kind of reveal?
We do. We just, like I said, we just launched our social media today. So the ones that are confirmed, you know, Erin knows who all of these are because she's negotiated with most of them. So I have no problem with starting to trickle this information out. I think in terms of social media, I think that's the best way to do it, is to is not just dump them all out at once, but just sort of keep a little trickle going, and that keeps interest up.
Can we put some of these in the newsletter as well? I mean, I'll wait till they get put in.
I would say that Emil Dahl, I was kind of waiting for one like big name to confirm out of our list of folks to kind of be the first big announcement.
Uh-huh.
So I think he'll be a good one to announce first, and then we have some others to announce. But yeah, if we did like first three each month in the newsletter, like if we did Emil Dahl and then a couple of the others this coming month, I think that'd be good for the newsletter. And then Jim's also working on the website and getting that designed, and we'll have periodicals of that as people confirm.
That sounds like a good idea.
Yeah,
and then I'll be
introducing
some of the posts.
So breaking up. A lot of noise.
Yeah, I'm hearing lots of noise too. I don't know where it's coming from.
We only have two newsletters left before
the deadline
the March 1st opening. The deadline
Martin,
is
what
third.
Is the next deadline?
The deadline is the next to last Friday of each month. So what do we got? January, that would be the 22nd.
Okay, that's this Friday.
That's, wait a minute. Oh, today's Monday, that's right. Yep.
Uh-huh.
And of course, you know, we can take stuff later, you know, until we put out the thing, but we like to get most of the stuff in by that date. So, you know, really important stuff, you can delay a few days, or if it's not quite ready, especially if you let us know that it's coming. And as I was saying, we only have two more newsletters coming out before the March 1st opening day. So, and one of those is going to be coming out just a few days before that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you want to hold back some of these guest names until the end of February, or you want to put them all in the January newsletter, which is sort of my inclination.
All right, Erin and I can discuss that offline, but yeah, we'll definitely have something for you. I'll get something to you and Don this weekend.
And I've also got championship graphics design that we can add to the newsletter too, and do a big championship push.
Right. Oh, and one more announcement that I forgot to put on the report is that Erin did a great job of basically asking UNIMED for an additional donation to help go toward the Cascade of Stars, because we were sort of exhausting our allocation for the Cascade of Stars budget. So UNIMED has graciously contributed another $1,300 toward Cascade of Stars.
What's the budget?
For Cascade of Stars is
$1,130.
Yeah,
1130
now for Cascade of Stars.
11,300. There we go.
And that includes the new donation.
That is.
Yeah.
That does.
It was 10,000.
Okay.
Mhm.
All right, great stuff, guys.
That's a lot of stuff you guys have been on top of. Thank you.
Sure.
Sounds like we're in great shape, guys. I don't want to drag this out too long. Any final thoughts on the festival report? Excellent. Keep up the great work, Jim and Erin.
Thank you.
On that note, we go right into marketing.
That's
okay.
With me.
That's with you. There is a report
cool.
there. And Erin.
Sweet. Yeah, things are going well. Main thing with social media marketing, One thing that's updated recently with Facebook event pages is that as the owner of, or as the person who created the IJ event page, I used to be able to invite everyone I wanted, and now I've got like a limit of 500 people. So if everyone of the board can get on and invite folks, that would be super helpful. And just as soon as we can to build a big buzz early on. But yeah, it's got good response today, so that's great. And yeah, in general, social media is killing it. Again, Instagram is just doing really quite well. The Facebook post for, or the Instagram post for the festival was a big hit today. Going up 900 to 1,000 new likes every month, which is awesome. We also had like our biggest virality as far as the IJ's social media goes this last month, both for Instagram and Facebook, so that's kind of cool. The Jonglissimo video got almost close to 100,000 views and like thousands and thousands and thousands of shares, and so it was just kind of fun to watch. Jonglissimo was writing me every day being like, oh my god, this is the coolest thing ever. We can't believe that this video is this popular. Anyhow, so that's great. Working on some cool new projects with this team, which there are some motions later down below that I just wanted to address now since I'm talking about the team anyhow, but I started the team of IJ International Representatives that I mentioned last month, and we had our first meeting. It's with a representative from Peru, Costa Rica, Colombia, and Mexico, and I made some proposals or motions to approve them as official officers, like we have the Mexican representative and the Canadian and such, so they would be for their individual countries. But lots of cool projects going on with them. Two new video series that are going to be starting for eJuggle and for Facebook and YouTube, which are coming along quite well. And yeah, and then starting to work on promotion for the IRCs as well. Questions?
Sounds all great to me, Aaron. I particularly like the idea of the mind blown thing. Ooh. I think that'll be really popular. That sounds very
excited.
I'm really looking forward to that a lot.
And the people that have confirmed for the first pinball video are insane. Just in the last 2 days, I'm super excited to see it. So.
Excellent.
Great.
Okay.
Things are really clicking along in the South America world. That's going to give us hopefully a big push for all sorts of IJA stuff. And it's really neat to have so much content coming from there. Hopefully it inspires other people to start producing more content. It's great to see that and how much is alive there going on. It's very cool. I see videos come through my feed and through people post to me, like, have you seen this? And it kind of comes from IJA world, and that those people goes around the loop to people I don't know, then kind of comes back through to me because of juggling. So it's neat to see how much it's getting around.
Sweet. That's great. And one more thing on that note that I forgot to mention is we've actually been asked to be a sponsor for a new project that's starting in Latin America, and it's actually called the Latin American Convention, I want to say, but it's a group that is not only going to be organizing an entire Latin American focused convention every year, but also monthly regional juggling gatherings in different countries. So they've already done one in Colombia, they're doing one this month in Ecuador, and one in Peru next month. Really great organization team, and they've asked if we can sponsor them just with putting our logo on their stuff, not really asking for anything else. I said we'd help with promoting events and such and getting the word out about things going on, photos and videos and such. So yeah, just wondering what people think of that, if that needs to be an official vote, or can it just be something as the marketing director that I move forward with?
Yeah, I would say as long as it's not a money thing, we have to kind of work through budgets, us helping other festivals, with our name and a little bit of promotion, as long as it doesn't get overwhelming for you, is cool. But I think that's fine. Promoting festivals is kind of what we're supposed to be doing, promoting events.
Right. Yeah, and by our logo being on it, it just helps them on their end, both with funding and sponsor potentials, and also by IJ is popular down there, so it makes them look better.
So we'd be putting our logo on their festival, is that correct?
It would just be like Latin American posters, all of them have like a million logos of all their sponsors. We don't tend to do that up here as much, but that's just like what it looks like. So it would be a logo on there basically saying sponsored by or in collaboration with IGA or something like
the
that.
The only major thing is if there is any liability responsibilities because of that. Like I can't really think of anything offhand, but I'm not 100% sure. That's not my area totally. Like,
right. There wouldn't
just,
be a liability.
That's the only thing.
My only thing would be quality control. Again,
yeah,
it's like our logo out
but
there. But
hopefully,
it turns
if
out
you're
to
working
be a bad
with
event,
them. Yeah, yeah. Like, I assume if it's come up to you a point and you're kind of like, hey, yeah, these people seem like we should, like, if it seems appropriate to you, I assume that you've done a little due diligence and the quality is up to a certain level at that point.
Yeah, I've researched it a lot, and I wouldn't do this for just any regional event. I wouldn't suggest it. I think the fact that it's a big international-focused event is where I really think we could help. It would benefit both us and them because
yeah.
It's not just working for one country. It's not just working for one event. It's a big international effort, and it's a big international team working on it, and I think that collaboration could behoove all of juggling and for us and for them. So that's why I kind of was in favor of backing this project specifically.
Great, great.
Okay. Any final thoughts on the marketing side of things? All right, moving right along to the YJA. I did not receive a report from Ellen. However, I did speak with her yesterday. Things are going well. She's really excited for YJA this year, and she's working on getting the new website going. Her husband is the designer for it, but he's been bogged down with his day job, but is hoping to resume work on that in the coming weeks. So that's kind of where we stand with YJA. Nothing major new to report. Yeah, any comments?
No, I'm glad they're still going slowly at it.
Yep.
It that's seems to be one of our better people are into it, so that's great.
Right. Yeah, totally. Okay, moving up right along to eJuggle report. Scott did send us this report, which you can view. And do we have any discussion about eJuggle? All right. Moving right along to membership, you can view the numbers by clicking that link. Any discussion on membership? Looks like we're ever so slightly up for the first time in a while, so I guess that's good.
But we're still below that 1,000 people mark, which is like, we don't even have 1,000 signed on. It's rough. Like, I feel like for YM, the whole YM system, that's like, our minimum capacity is, you know, about 10,000 members or something. I have no idea. But how do we get up into that, the next digit?
Sure. Eternal question. All right.
Eternal.
Forever question.
Indeed. All right, any further discussion on membership? Moving right along to IRC, Aaron also attached a report there. And, yeah, so any comments or questions for Aaron on the IRC side of things? All looks like we're in good shape to me.
Yep, things are going well.
All right, well, that was quick and easy. Moving right along to future festival planning. Mr. Sullivan is not here, but he did write a little blurb here about attending the conference in Michigan in April for potential host cities. So that's kind of where we are now. No new movement. Any comments?
No.
All right, moving right along to motions for consideration. First motion we have is the motion to approve the award committee's 2016 Honorary Award selections, which you can view by clicking that link if you have not seen them already. Would someone like to make this motion?
So this is Shavela, I will.
Thank you very much, Shavela. Do we have a second?
This is Louie, I'll second.
Excellent, Louie, thank you very much. Moving to discussion. Well, they're here, guys. What do you think? I gotta say, I was not familiar with the Picassos, but I looked them up, and they definitely have done some very amazing things. It's also interesting that we're getting, you know, international father and son. I think that's really great.
This is
Are they going to be able to attend?
Well,
have you looked in?
We haven't even told them they've won yet. So, see, that's one of the problems with this, the way we do things.
Yeah, we were waiting on confirmation.
Yeah, we have to vote on the first, and then we contact them.
So we currently have Picasso Jr. in our budget for the show in hopes that it passes and we can have him as part of the Cascade of Stars.
Okay. I guess on that note, who do we want to have or how do we want to go about contacting these people? Last year it was kind of ambiguous, so I reached out to the people and kind of informed them, and then myself and Vero kind of coordinated that. But, do we want to assign contacting these people to someone, or what do you guys think?
This is Jim. I'm happy to do it as festival director and try and entice him to come, because as Aaron said, we would love to have him for our show, just because he's from he's a Spanish speaker and I think he will be as much of a draw, or hopefully will be as much of a draw as our original intent for a Spanish juggler was Paul Ponce, but turns out he's performing for the Pope that week. So he's out.
That's no excuse.
Okay. I know. Priority.
I know, right? I see the Pope. Come on. Yeah, okay.
But people have no priorities.
Hey, can we get
right.
The Pope to come?
Bless this festival.
Right. Marcel, let you reach out to that one.
Yeah, the nuts. Now, did Jim want to reach out and contact all the award selections and inform them of their...
No, I'm only offering to reach out to Picasso Jr. and see if he can come and provide a spot in our show.
Okay.
I'm thinking it would be the award committee chairperson. Is that a position?
Yeah, that would be Alan. Do you think Alan would be interested in doing this, Bob?
I can certainly ask him. Between he and Jay, I think they probably can contact him. Jay, because he's over in Europe and has probably the best connections of anybody on the committee, would probably be the one. Between the two of them, they certainly can. But I think, Nathan, you should probably reach out to him and ask him that.
Reach out to Alan and Jay?
Well, reach out to Alan and say, would the committee like to inform him except for the one Jim Maxwell is going to do? I mean, I can do
All right, so I'll take that. I'll reach out to the committee and we'll establish a dialogue offline. And
yeah, I mean, it's not a problem. So, I mean,
Absolutely. Now, just to be clear, I'm sorry, I got kind of backtracked here. Jim, are you reaching out to Picasso Senior or Junior?
Picasso Jr. is the one that is still actively working. Picasso Sr. is retired, and I think we should invite him. I think we should, invite him, and if he's able or willing to come to receive this award, but certainly I think Picasso Jr. We can reach out to, and I know he's got a website, and you can contact him through his website. And so, Nathan, I don't know if you want to contact him and just let him know about the award, and then I contact him about the possibility of performing, or...
Okay, how about this? I'll reach out to the committee, and I'll CC see you, Jim, and we'll establish a plan. But I think it would be best to kind of inform everybody all at once of their award nominations,
right,
and then you can reach out from there about potentially bringing him in as a paid performer or however you want to approach that. I think, but I do think it would be good to inform everyone at once in a fairly homogenized fashion.
And just to be clear, I mean, we would pay for Picasso Jr. from the festival budget as a performer if he chooses to perform. Or does the IJA pay for travel for all festival awardees?
No. But on that note, one thing that has come up in the past is if someone does have an honorary award and wants to travel over on their own dime to receive their award, do we comp them a ticket or at least a show ticket? That's something that's been kind of ambiguous to me in the past.
I think
certainly a show ticket, at least.
And if they're willing to do even a lecture-type workshop, I think we should just comp them, you know, the fest. I mean, it's not, you know, not travel, but, you know, it would behoove us because some of the older performers have been able to really do a great performance, and they know it, but they can tell some great war stories.
Yeah, I'm very much in favor of that. I just want to make sure that, you know, that if there's agreement in that, and if so, that it's calculated in the budget to have comps or whatever for whomever is able to make it.
But it does hinge on them providing something. It's not just showing up and getting your award. If that's all they're going to do, then they need to pay their own way. If they're willing to come and give a workshop, do something like that, then we work with them. But if it's simply just to show up and get an award, I really feel strongly that we should not pay for anything of that.
Well, also, what it varies a little bit by award. Historical Achievement Award is usually a pretty famous juggler or something. Award of Excellence also, but Bobby May Award, the Extraordinary Service Award, these are not awards that typically involve famous jugglers,
right,
and we don't want to give them a festival package for teaching a workshop, you know, for teaching some what might be called a normal free workshop.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's absolutely true.
All right, and so this is Jim. I'll recommend again that this is something that should be thought about and maybe even written up as policy for the next festival director, because when Alan contacted me about this, I was sort of taken by surprise. I wasn't even thinking about this in my festival budget, and so that's when we had to sort of scramble and rearrange some things, and fortunately Aaron was able to get extra funding from UNAMED so that we could make room for another European flight for Picasso Jr. But I think it would be really helpful if you could be upfront with the next festival director that, hey, this expense is likely going to hit your budget.
Well, part of the thing is that we don't know, I mean, it's a good point, but we never know where these people are going to be, who they are going to be, and where they might be coming from. Coming from Europe is obviously much more expensive than coming from the U.S.
Still, having a heads up is better than being blindsided.
And actually, I had just mentioned right before the announcement from Jim, I was like, hey, we should leave some spots open in case there's an honorary award person that we want to bring in. And Jim was like, oh, I hadn't even thought about that. So yeah, I mean, just that's from the last time when I wanted that and I didn't have that budget, so I knew that, but somehow relaying information.
Mention one more thing, and that is that when you're notifying Picasso Jr. that he's an award recipient, assuming this motion passes, it seems to me that's the exact same time that you want to say, and we'd like you to come and perform. This shouldn't be two different phone calls.
Yeah, and like I said, I'm willing to do that, or I'm willing to let you do it, Nathan, however you want to handle it.
Sure. I'll send out an email to the awards committee and CCU, and we can establish a plan from there. But I would like the awards committee in on this, especially if Alan, as chair, wants to take some initiative.
Sure.
I'll just add that I think it's actually more in Jim's ballpark, since he's the festival director, to invite him and to announce the thing at the same time and to invite him sort of requires, in some sense, Jim to be doing that. If Jim is okay with Alan doing it, that's fine, but and maybe Alan even knows Picasso Jr., I don't know. But
I talked to Alan, and Alan doesn't actually know Picasso Jr. I think he's seen him perform. And actually, I saw Picasso Jr. perform when he was with the Barnum & Bailey Kaleidoscape back in the late 90s. Of course, I didn't really know who he was at the time, but, he did a great job. He did the Mexican hats. I don't remember if he did ping pong balls or not, but... I'm happy to do it, but I'm also happy to let somebody else do it if they think that's more appropriate.
This is Bob. After listening to the discussion, I think Mark brings up a good point, and so does Jim. I mean, and Aaron, it's really in Jim's ballpark. It's his fest. It might be best, to let him do, at least with that one, everything. But we can discuss it with
him. Yeah, okay, that being the case, do you still want the awards committee,
I think we can figure this out with an email between the awards committee, Jim, and Nathan. I don't think we need to figure it all out right now, but I think that seems like the best team to figure this out.
Right.
I agree. We're kind of going in circles here, so we'll take this offline,
yeah.
And I'm optimistic that there won't be any issues. So that being the case, we're just going to move directly to a vote for these particular selections. Does anyone oppose the 2016 Honorary Award Committee's selections? Would anyone like to abstain? Motion passes. Yay, awards, people.
Hey,
all right.
Yay.
Cool. Moving on to Motion B, the motion to change the following in the stage championship rules. The championship's director does not participate in the judging of any competitor's preliminary or final performance and should not communicate with or influence the judge's scoring of any routine. 2, the championship's director does not participate in the judging of any competitor's preliminary or final performance and should not influence the judge's scoring. And then there's a link below to the original wording. Would someone like to make this motion?
This is Noel. I will make the motion.
Great. Thanks, Noel. Do we have a second?
Is Louis a second?
I heard Louis, so I'm going to go with that. So just a quick discussion here to kind of fill people in. I received an email from Vivica requesting that we change the wording from that to this. The reason being is the way it's worded currently, it pretty much states that the championships director cannot communicate with the judges, period, which is kind of unreasonable. And so the aim is to change it so that they can communicate with them, they just cannot influence their scoring in any way. Now, the only reason I'm putting this on the motion is because it is technically changing the rules, so this is more of a formality than anything. So that's kind of where it stands. Any questions, comments?
I think it's a good change. I think the current rule only prevents the director from communicating with the judges' scoring.
Yeah.
Not with the judges. It's very badly written, so it definitely needs to be revised.
Absolutely. Okay. Moving to a vote. Does anybody oppose this motion? Does anybody abstain? Motion passes. I will inform Vivica and Neil Fred and have David update that on the website.
No, you'll have our guys update that on the website.
Okay.
We have the championship rules now under the festival menu on the YM website.
On the YM website?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is now on the new website, and I think also Fred maybe has access to that. Vivica's co-director, Neil Fred.
Yep.
Moving on to motion C, the motion to approve the change of this year's officer position of Mexico representative from Juan Rosas Mendez to Jorge Vilches. Would someone like to make this motion?
Bob will.
Thank you, Bob. Do we have a second?
This is Noel. I'll second the motion.
Thank you, Noel. Moving to discussion.
This is bearing on the decision, but Jorge Vilcas is an insane juggler. That's it.
True that. Cool. And just to fill in, Jorge's been doing a ton of work for the IJ for the last 2 years now with organizing the Tricks of the Month every month, two to three videos each month. Also working with me on IRC stuff. I discussed with Juan and he's totally in favor of this and said Jorge should be our guy. So it's all good. That's it.
Any further discussion? Moving to a vote. Does anybody oppose this motion? Would anyone like to abstain? Motion passes. Moving on to motion D, the motion to add the following positions to this year's IJ officers. And you can read them below. Would someone like to make a motion?
Sorry. Go ahead.
Louis, I'll make a motion.
Thank you, Louis. Would someone like to second this?
Bob will.
Thank you, Bob. Do we have any discussion?
Yeah. Just what I said earlier. These guys are awesome, totally excited about working with the IJ and helping promote it in where we can, and we're doing monthly meetings and such, and lots of programs.
This is Noel. I only have one question for you, Aaron, which is, what do they receive in return for doing that? That's all I really want to know.
For the representative position, there's no receiving thing for anyone who's doing a specific program, like for the Mind Flown program that's going to be going through eJuggle. That's a discussion that Scott's addressing as far as any type of payment they might receive for eJuggle projects. But as far as actually just being representatives, there's no specific thing they're receiving.
Okay.
Yeah. Other than my extreme gratitude.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. All right, guys, any more discussion?
The one other thing, I'm just going to mention it now because I didn't mention it anywhere else, is that I'm trying to get them juggle.org addresses, and I was hoping to just get their names, @juggle.org. David Landown tells me this is not policy or general policy, that usually it's only board members who have names and other people have titles. I guess we can do their country. The only thing is with the country. Yeah, I mean, they're doing lots of international projects. So it's a little bit weird to have it be country-based. But I don't know what else we'd call them. So we can do countries instead, I suppose.
Well, if they're country representatives, then they're country representatives.
Right.
You've got one that says Central American representative, so that one's a little ambiguous.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and I mean, they're representing that country, but that's why it's kind of weird is the projects they're doing are much more international than just that country is. Yeah.
You know, there are lots of other IJ volunteers who do more than just the exact title of their job. Yeah.
That'd be true. Cool. That's it.
All right, moving to a vote. Does anybody oppose the motion to add those positions to this year's IJA officers? Would anyone like to abstain? Motion passes. Moving along to motion E, motion to accept the 2015 Festival P&L. As stated earlier, this is on the agenda, but the plan, as the board willed above, was to have it adjusted one more time. So keep that in mind. Would someone like to make this motion?
Louie, I'll make the motion.
Okay. Would someone like to...
Can I make an amended motion? Can we do the amended, or do we have to wait for them to actually go through and do it up?
Well, honestly, if nobody makes the motion or nobody seconds, then the motion is not made, so we just move on without voting on it. So
okay,
that would be
great.
The easiest thing.
Well, then I would like to not make this motion so we can...
Okay.
So this is Justin, we can make the motion in February.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason to really make a motion vote on it if none of us is in favor of this. I mean, you make motions because you want to, you know, discuss and or vote on it, so.
Great, wonderful.
All right, just for formality, does anyone really want to make this motion? Speak now or forever hold your peace. No motion is made. Moving on to Varia. Okay. So, we have a few items that I wanted to discuss with Varia. The first item is, as I'm sure most, if not all of you are aware, Warren Hammond has officially resigned from his position on the IJA Board of Directors, meaning we have a current vacant spot, which we can appoint someone to serve the duration of Warren's term. Another option, which is probably not preferable, would be to amend our bylaws to accommodate one less board member. But traditionally, we have, at least in my experience, have sought to fill the vacancy. Oddly enough, I did get one person offering to help out, and that was Jared Davis, who, as I'm sure some of you recall, was a board member from 2012 through 2014, but there hasn't really been any outreach that I'm aware of, so I guess now would just be to establish an idea of how we wanted to approach filling this vacancy.
You could also leave the, just to be complete here, you could also leave the vacancy open, leave that seat open, but that's all up to the board.
Well, Warren, his position did end in July, so at the festival it would be up. So it would be about, what's that, 5 months, 6 months that we're looking at?
Yep, 6 months.
Yeah, so that's something to keep in mind. But I guess we should establish now is, do we want to appoint someone? If so, what means? Do we want to approach people? Do we want to advertise this in the newsletter? What do you guys think?
This is Louie. If we're not needing him right now and we have enough people to vote and everything, I don't think we really need to go pushing for somebody, because we're going to be pushing again just right after that for the actual, for board members anyway. So I kind of just want to save it for the big push for a call for board members when we do the big call anyway.
I would agree with that.
I think it's good to have another brain thinking about things that the board has in front of it, and just, you know, for different perspectives. And it doesn't hurt to have one more person. If Jared is interested in being on the board, for instance, and he was on the board before, then you know, that might be a good thing. And if, in particular, if he might or might not want to run for a 2-year term of the board, and he might be willing to do 6 months, or he might want to do both. Obviously, there'll be an election in July. So I would say, if you have someone who is willing to fill it, and that the board thinks is competent to fill it, you know, fill it.
This is Noel here. I would also agree with, I think that was Martin, but I would say that I think getting somebody in here is probably a good call. Just because, even if I am not, this is not the ideal, but somebody that we might even want to try out on the board, it might even be a good opportunity to see if it's something they might be interested in more so, instead of somebody that signs up for the board and doesn't know what they're in for and then just decides that they want to leave the board. So I think that maybe it's an idea also, if you don't get somebody like Jared that has been a previous board member, somebody that is a very likely candidate for board membership, it could be a good, I mean, for lack of better words, trial run. But this would have to be obviously somebody that we all believe in and in part IJ, but I just would just like to mention that.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea too. 6 months to see if they like it, see if they fit, and then hopefully they'll be like, okay, I can sign up for the 2 years now. They can run again.
They would have to make that decision after about 3 months on the board because the deadline for nominations is May 15th, I think. And it wouldn't be appointed until next month's meeting. So it'll be about 3 months, but that might be enough to get somebody. We could also mention this vacancy, and probably should, from a technical point of view, in the newsletter, and mention that if anybody is interested, they should contact, let's say, Nathan, to talk about possibly being appointed.
Yeah, I think that's what Nathan was getting at. Like, should we advertise it? I think you are right. Like, let's mention it. We don't have to do a big push on it, but mention it, and if somebody wants it, they can speak up. If Jared wants to do it, that's awesome. But it would be nice to have somebody new, too.
Yeah, and this month is probably the time, I don't remember what we did the last couple of years, but we should be hawking the board nominations this month. Often we forget about this too late, till later, but giving people a few more, another month to think about whether they want to run for the board. This it can bring both of those things up at one time in the newsletter.
Okay, so are we in agreement that putting this vacancy in the newsletter is a good idea?
Sure. Yeah.
Sure.
Yep.
No, yes, absolutely.
Okay. We'll put it in the newsletter and see if we get any responses, and if not, I can contact Jared. He didn't mention board specifically. He just said any open positions, he'd be happy to help out. And if he responds to that, we can go from there or other candidates. Oh, one thing I should mention, specifically to you, Martin, is when I was interacting with Warren after he sent me his letter, he did say he was planning on writing a quick article kind of discussing why he was leaving board and just to kind of say he was leaving in good graces, so to speak, and he wanted potentially that in the newsletter just to kind of keep everything nice and proper. But I don't know if he's actually planning on penning that anytime soon, but he did have intent there, so I don't know if it's worth reaching out to him or what, but that was something he said he was interested in doing.
Okay, I'll contact him and see if he'd like to get a letter into this upcoming newsletter. This is obviously the appropriate one to go into.
Correct. Okay. Well, yeah, great. Sounds like we have a plan there, a good course of action. Any further comments, guys? Cool. Moving right along to Varia Item B, 2017 Festival Director Update. So I had a nice long sit-down chat with Cheryl Sayers yesterday, and just to kind of give you an update on that, it was an interesting conversation. It didn't go exactly like I'd expected, but basically the gist of our conversation was she's still very much interested in doing something with Cedar Rapids. But she's not sure she wants to be the full festival director. She has some concerns about her weaknesses as it pertains to certain organizational tendencies, and as well as her desire to continue to vend and what have you. She said she was more interested in potentially doing some sort of co-directing, if that was an option. And she was very much pushing for to potentially us to reach out to Greg, probably going to mispronounce his last name, Greg Oatley from the Kansas City Festival.
Yes, he's very good.
Yeah, she said that she felt we should reach out to him first, and she would potentially be interested in helping to direct it with him, or if he just wanted to direct it altogether, or if we had another candidate to pursue them, because she said she wants to help, but she's concerned about disappointing the organization, and she just had some apprehension. So that's kind of what her perspective was on this particular situation.
Well, every director needs an assistant. So it sounds
yeah.
like she'd be good
fine,
in that
role. Yeah. So do you guys want, do you feel we should reach out to Greg from Kansas City and kind of get a feeler out there? I'd be happy to do that if there is a mutual agreement here.
I would agree.
Yes, agree.
Now, on that note, do any of you have a personal relationship with him? I've never met him. I'd be happy to reach out to him. But if any of you guys have an existing rapport with him, it might make a little more sense to kind of speak with him yourself.
How many people here actually know him and know, I don't know anything about him, but actually know him and think of him as a good candidate? How many different
this
people here?
This is Jim. This is Jim. I would endorse him. He does a good festival in Kansas City.
This is Bob. I've been to several of his festivals. Very organized, big festival, good guy to work with.
Okay.
I don't know that, you know, I don't know him that well personally, but, you know, I don't have a problem. I do know some of his close friends, so it might be easier just to say, hey, you know, what do you think? Or, you know, tell him I'm going to call him and remind him who I am, because, like I say, he may not, you know, remember myself. He probably remembers Jim more for his Austin Fest.
I would consider contacting him on behalf of the board if you want. Because when he did come down to our festival here in Austin, he and I sat for about, you know, 30, 40 minutes and just sort of exchanged ideas on running a regional festival. So he's got the right inquisitive mind, and I think that he would make a good one. And I can sort of share with him some of my experiences and see if he'd be able to do it.
This is Bob. I think this is an excellent plan. If Greg would take it and he and Jim, you know, have a rapport, I think this would be great, because hey, Greg is very used to large festivals.
Okay. Yeah, and like I said, the idea was if you wanted to either co-direct or potentially be the sole director, but you can even say Cheryl passed his name along to him, dropped his name and said potentially either collaborating with him or just, you know, turning it over to him if he's interested. Okay. Sounds good, Jim. Thanks for doing that.
Sure.
Yeah.
I will say that, I don't know if Greg's planning on coming to our festival. I know a couple of people from Kansas City usually come to ours every year. And if Greg comes to our festival, then I will certainly talk to him there. But otherwise, I may wait until after our festival just because I have my hands pretty full right now.
By our festival, okay. You mean the Austin Festival. Let's clarify
the,
that.
The Austin Festival, which is February 26th through 28th.
Okay, so it...
It would be nice to talk to him before that. That's a month away.
I can do that, but I can't really sort of have a heart-to-heart with him just yet. But I can certainly just put the bug in his ear.
Yeah, why don't you do that? Just to gauge his interest, because if he just turns us down flat, it'd sure be nice, you know, be nice to know ahead of time.
Okay.
And it might give him a month to think about it, you know.
Sure.
Obviously, he's going to want some time.
Sure, I can do that.
Great. Sounds good, guys. Any more comments or questions on the festival director for 2017? All right, sounds good. Moving on to Varia Item C, board and chair nominations. I just kind of wanted to remind everybody that board nominations open up here fairly soon. And if you know anybody, I know these last few years we've had a little bit of a difficult time recruiting people. So if you know anybody, feel free to kind of give them a nudge about this. And I also wanted to mention, so there's plenty of notice on this, that at present, I am not currently planning on running for board again, in which case a new chair will be needed to be appointed in El Paso. So keep that in mind. If you yourself have any interest or any questions, feel free to reach out to me, or if you think anyone else currently on board would be a good candidate. Well, I guess they would technically have to be currently on board. But if you think anyone would be a good candidate, feel free to, you know, have that discussion. All right.
I have a question in that regard. I see that the three people whose terms are up this summer are, well, of course, the vacancy, and you, Nathan, Bob, and Louis. Bob and Louis, do you have any comments on whether you might be up for, I don't know, is Louis here?
Yes.
Bob, do you think you would like to run again? I'm just doing a straw vote.
No, I'm happy to help you out. No, I do not believe I do want to run again.
You're not planning to run again. Okay. No. And Louis?
Yeah, right now in my world, I plan on putting in another 2 years.
Okay. Great. Thanks.
Great, Louis.
This, among other things, this just tells us the minimum number of people we have to find to run for the board.
This is Noel. I think it's kind of a concern about Nathan. Not concerned, but something to be aware of in terms of seeking, if Nathan wants to really help in that process, another board chair. Just mention an immediate...
I didn't understand what you said, Noel. Did somebody hear that and can repeat it?
Sorry. The long story of it is I think that the search for the new board chair needs to begin immediately. If not, Nathan might be able to help with suggestions or whatever. But, I mean, as I'm not sure, maybe it's Louis, but if not, I like that.
Okay. The eligible people for the board chair are obviously those, as you all know, those people who are on the board this year and will be on the board again and next year. So is Marvin here on the call?
Yes, he was. I'm not sure if he's still here.
I'm here.
Oh.
Marvin?
Yes.
You're here. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, while I have you, Marvin, did you get my email about the Board Plus forum?
I did. I tried to sign up, but I tried to reset my password, but for some reason I couldn't enter the letter, my password, when I actually reset it, like yesterday. I'm going to try again today.
Okay, send me email if you still have problems. We can get work through this. Okay, just checking to see. The question would, one of the questions is, you know, who is interested in being the chair next year, if anybody, of the people who are eligible. So, those of you who are on the board know who that is.
Yeah, and I think that's why Nathan's mentioning it now, so people can consider it and discuss it over the upcoming couple of months and see who might put their name in.
You know, Aaron, are you going to run to the board again, Aaron? Huh? Missing it?
You missed it?
No comment.
No comment. But I am working hard for the IJA. It's not in that capacity right now.
You are, and that's the thing. Like, you stepped down from chair and being on the board, but it seems like your workload has not decreased at all.
Sure hasn't.
Yeah. And that's the kind of volunteer we like.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Nathan will be right here next to me next year.
Yeah, exactly. It's like being an ex-president. You have to go do all these talks and everything afterwards.
I tell ya, yeah.
You're so under thumb.
Too bad being the ex-chair doesn't pay, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars for speaking.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So with this, before we go here, Echo, we have had lots of discussions about the executive director position within the IJA that sort of have gone that down.
but that's also potentially a selling point for the board chair.
You know, I'm
session picked up again.
Yeah, it's actually, it's kind of interesting you mentioned that, and I think Bob and I can kind of chime in on this, but there was some discussion at the last vision planning meeting about that, and I think at this point, as beneficial as that would be, the popular feeling was to kind of suspend that search for the time being, and I think Bob and Louie, you can provide any additional that you had on that.
No, that's totally fine. We don't need to go over it too much tonight. I just mentioned that maybe that would make people someone wants to be a board chair more if that was.
If they were also being paid a little bit?
No, if they had somebody that was there to help them execute.
Okay, great.
Essentially,
yeah,
they're being
be
board chair and not executive director as well.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, my feeling was when we actually discussed the nuts and bolts of it, we have to come up with a description of it, we have to decide what they're going to do, we have to make sure what money we're paying, and then get it all in place, and realistically, many of you, some of us are going to be gone by the next board, so it's almost, I'm not sure we want to saddle the next board because, we wouldn't get it done for months, with something they may not want. I think a fresh board in July should probably be the ones to address it.
My concern with that is that's what's been being said for 3-4 years now.
Right.
Well,
so
maybe nobody wants it then.
I think it's hard to get the board in a place where it's a thing that can be addressed when it's changing every year.
Yeah, it takes 6 months for the board to get used to being on the board, and by then they only got 6 months left.
And they're like, oh, let's not paddle the next board with this project that we want.
Yeah, I would also mention that.
And another unfortunate thing to note, too, is we actually did have an official executive director search committee, but the chair of that committee just resigned from board. So,
and never followed up over the last year, yeah.
Yeah, so it was formed, had no action, then just, yeah. So as far as I'm concerned, I don't know the parliament.
Also, it's
probably dead.
It's something also that I had brought up to Tom and Lloyd, about the three of us kind of addressing it, because I think it does become a hard thing for the board to address. I've just seen that trend. but an outside team that's been on the board that understands the working dynamics and that also understands the importance and dynamics of having an executive director who could take it on would be good at some point. But, again, my plate is now overly full. So it's just it's a hard question.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Aaron. I mean, I think it really needs to be looked at. It's just finding the people to look at it and, getting them to stick with the job and actually look at it.
Yeah, that's, that's kind of my, that was one of the things that I really was, in addition to a few other elements, but, I've really wanted to be a part of, and it sort of has raised and lowered with Aaron leaving, and it kind of came when Lloyd and Aaron were working on it, and Tom was involved, and now it's non-existent. So, I would just put this out there to Aaron. Maybe you could spark some enthusiasm in Lloyd and Tom, because right now, I'm willing to work on something to get something moving before my term is up after this, a year from this summer. So I'm willing to put some energy towards, at the very least, in terms of my vote. And so, I just, I really support that because, I just strongly support that. And I get that it's going to take a few years of working and some kinks being worked out, but, yeah.
Yeah, and I would very much support it, too, and... Yeah, I think just from the amount of work that I do volunteer, I know that tons of us do volunteer-wise, or at least not tons, probably, but a lot of us. having that one person that's their job to make sure the organization goes in a good direction, I think that's huge. And I hope for now. I would say try not to let that idea die. Board members, that would be my suggestion. But rather just know that it's on pause for now until
somebody steps up and is ready to address it.
I think that's a good course of action and idea. All right, guys, we kind of got off on a tangent there, but are there any further thoughts on the whole board chair nomination ZD stuff? Cool. Moving on to item 8, which is to set the next meeting times for February. So for the vision planning meeting, 2 weeks from today would be February 1st. Alternatively, we could do February 8th if that would work better for people. Does anyone have a preference either way? If there's no preference, we'll just go right to February 1st, I think, even 2 weeks. 2 weeks after that for a board meeting would be the 15th. Alternately, we could do the 22nd. Does anyone have a preference either way there?
This is Jim. I would prefer the 15th just because the 22nd is going to be the week of our festival and I'm going to be pretty slammed.
That's a good point. Yeah, I think that would be quiet. Everyone good with the 15th and the 1st?
Yeah.
I'm on the 15th. I have a baby any time between the 1st and the 15th. So I'll just keep you guys a heads up when it's close.
When it's heads out.
Yeah, that's when I'll send the message.
So I didn't understand anything you said, Aaron. Could you say it again or somebody translate it?
Shavella.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, basically when the baby's head is out, I'll send a mass text. I'm kidding. But I'm doing the 15th, which 2 weeks before or 2 weeks after that I could have the baby. So I'll just have to give you guys a heads up when it is.
That's totally fine.
Is that a heads down?
Yeah,
exactly.
Babies. All right.
Babies.
The 1st and the 15th it is. Moving to item 9. Now, just before I even say this, I just want to say that technically we need to vote on this, so please don't hang up until after we've voted and officially adjourned. Okay. So we only need, we don't need a second, though. But we do need a vote. So, adjournment. Would someone like to make a motion to adjourn?
This is Noel. I'd love to make the motion to adjourn.
Thank you, Noel. Also, thank you for sticking around. I noticed that, and we appreciate it.
Yes, thanks, man.
Any discussion on this? Okay. Moving to vote. Does anybody oppose adjournment? Would anyone like to abstain from adjournment? Meeting is adjourned at 9:18 p.m. Eastern Time. Thank you for everybody.
Got it.